Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life.
Hello, everyone. It's the Match Build-Up Show. We're back. It's been that long, I nearly forgot what the show was called, to be perfectly honest. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Dan Clubb, by Sam Walker. And we're going to be talking Man City versus Liverpool League Cup pre-Christmas action, which has caught a lot of people cold, I've discovered. I've had so many... I was stopped in the Asda by someone. He was like, oh, looking forward to the game on Boxing Day. And I was like, we're playing on Thursday night as well, you know. Oh God, are we? I've seen professional, ex-professional footballers get this wrong and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, Liverpool are in the League Cup against Manchester City just days after the World Cup has ended. This is the world we live in. Another mad season on top of another mad season on top of a mad season. Sam Walker, how are you feeling about having the Reds back in your life?
I'm not ready. Honestly, we were saying before, weren't we? I think I was ready for the break. I'm all guns blazing in the early rounds of the World Cup, but then obviously the news we've had with Diaz has just kind of thought, oh, no, I'm not ready for this now. I need something positive to happen to go, yes, we're back, come on. But we're playing Man City at the Etihad. That's the hardest challenge you're going to get. So for that positive vibe to come, it's even more difficult. So yeah, I'm not ready to get my heart broken again.
I'm quite... chill about it. I must admit, my attention span for the World Cup evaporated the second Liverpool friendlies came back, which was weird because, you know, there was some great games. I watched some of the final and the ending of it and all that kind of stuff. But I have been looking forward to them coming back. I have enjoyed the break. I have enjoyed being able to kind of like enjoy football that doesn't take an emotional toll.
Yeah.
However, Sam's spot on. It's Man City. Like, honestly, like, could it, you know, if I could just flip this and Villa around, you know, that would have been perfect, even though Villa's going to be its own challenge. I've not really thought about the emotional stakes of this game. I'm still living in that, like, fugue state of, like, I'm quite merrily happy that Liverpool are going to be back in my life.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, to be honest with you. I hadn't thought about heartbreak until Sam used that word then. I wish he hadn't done it. It brought loads of memories flooding back to me about how many false dawns we had before the big break. You know, how many times do we sit here and go, oh, yeah, we're back now, we've won a game, and then we weren't back.
Yeah,
it's a weird one, because obviously it's a weird time of year anyway. Obviously, we're all kind of waiting for Christmas. That's kind of crept up, and now all of a sudden the footy's back. Usually we're sort of in the midst of it, the thickest part of the season now, but it's strange to think we're going to be back, and like Sam says, probably the toughest challenge we could possibly have faced. And not only is it really tough, it's also made more difficult by the fact the League Cup games, obviously we're going to try and predict the team later, and that's so hard to do, because who's back, will Klopp go under strength because it's still the Cup? It's a difficult one to sort of gauge where we're at, for me anyway.
No, absolutely, and we can't really know the psychology. I do wonder, Sam, and I post this on the podcast, but I'll ask you this as well. There's mind games to be played here. And I think the Community Shield has a big role to play in this. I think Pep, I don't know, like, he threw the Community Shield as such, because obviously Haaland was still in the team. Yeah, they put a good team out, they did. But they were undercooked. Yeah. For that. And Liverpool had, I think, geared themselves up to be ready for that game. And I think...
what happened was it made actually left Man City being more ready for the season, whereas Liverpool probably damaged themselves a little bit to try and be ready too soon. And I don't know whether those mentalities flip now, because Pep could really do with a win over us, and Liverpool could really do with actually just winning Premier League games more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, dead interesting, and you said this in the summer about that, and there's a bit of similarities between this period and the summer. City don't have to go abroad. They've got that much dodgy money flowing through their system that they don't have to go abroad and earn money.
We're back, baby. We're back.
But they don't have to go abroad. They don't have to do these like Australia tours. I can't remember, where did you go? Thailand or Singapore? Like, yeah. They don't have to do that. They can just go, we'll just go and do our own little camp, and then when we're ready, we're ready, which means they're primed for September, pretty much, isn't it? Usually they build in August. Whereas we are different. We have to go and do all that, which means the Charity Shield for us was a bit more of a, right, we need to get ready now, which is why we probably went in hard and we won that game. And just to add to that, Man City haven't beaten us in front of fans since that famous 2-1 loss where they won the league. It was the January 2019. That was the last time they beat us in front of fans. I think they might have beat us on penalties in the Community Shield, but at the end of full time, the last time they beat us in a game of football was January 2019, because they beat us in COVID 4-0 when we were champions, and then they beat us at Anfield in COVID when there was no fans in the stadium. So this is quite a big game and a big opportunity. Their fans haven't seen them beat us for ages, so that might also play into it.
We've quietly had their number, I think, you know, and the Etihad game last year was quite disappointing, really, for us. You know, I think it ended up, ultimately, it's a better point for them. It's a far better point for them than it is for us. I think Liverpool took their learnings from that and applied it in the FA Cup. City were on the back of a mental spell of games where they were absolutely running on fumes, of course, by that point. But then again, in the Community Shield, we got the balance right, and as Sam says, we had a pretty good record against them. But I think this all feeds into Pep Guardiola's mentality. I just have this real sneaky inkling that he will almost go harder for this than I think he would prefer to, because he's a bit of a nutcase, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I think he gets lost in his own head a little bit too much on stuff.
He certainly does that, and certainly when it comes to Liverpool as well, he's been guilty of that, and the Champions League for that matter, he's very guilty of that in that competition as well. I think he will go strong for this. I think the results Sam talks about sort of going back are important, but I think the results this season, because they're obviously, we're kind of underperforming this year, aren't we? But yet still we have these two sort of standout fixtures. So look, we beat Man City twice. That's what we can do. And we want to do that again, obviously. But City, I think, moreover, Guardiola, he'll want the League Cup back. Like, yes. He'll want the trophy back further down the line. He'll see that as a thing as well. We're the holders of that. So he'll see it as, I'll knock the holders out and I'll go and win it again. Because whatever we say about him, whatever we think of him as a manager, he is an absolute sort of glutton for trophies. Like, he just loves hoarding trophies. And this is one that down the years he sort of prided himself in getting over the line in. So he'll want that ultimately as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely that. Although, you know, again, the interesting thing would be, like, he's gone, actually, you know what, all along to the League Cup is just a waste of time. It'd be funny if you put a bunch of kids on. But that, again, just to Klopp's mentality on it, Sam, I think our mentality has always been, we try to win every game of football that's in front of us. We got, let's say, lucky, we finally got a bit of good fortune in the domestic cup draws last year, really, by comparison to all the shit we've been through over the years. You know, you get one or two and you go, oh, this out, and then you draw Chelsea in the fifth round of the FA Cup, and you're like, well, that could literally go either way. That's a bit of the shame about this, is that's one of these games, this could go either way. You're not disrespecting the League Cup. You know, it's just a case of sometimes you come up against a superior, an opponent who's just as good at you, if not sometimes better. But I wonder whether the winning of it last year and the FA Cup and seeing what that does, whether that has just impacted the mentality on it and thinking, we had a boss day there.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. The fans, I've seen so many Liverpool fans talking about who got to go to those finals and got to go to the semis in the FA Cup and just really had a much better time at Wembley than we had in some of the big European ties of recent.
Yeah, it was. No, we were there together in that FA Cup game. It was amazing, wasn't it? That was a massive moment for us last year, winning that FA Cup. And I know it's not the League Cup, but it's all part and parcel of the journey, isn't it? I think for me, the mentality from Klopp will be, we've got a game on Boxing Day, and I think he'll be looking at that. The problem we've got with Man City is, I looked and, oh, Leeds away, they're not playing on Boxing Day, they're playing on the 28th, is it? So like, that been shafted a little bit here. Like, they've put it on the Thursday because the World Cup's on and they want to make sure as many superstars can play in that game for TV as possible. Had they been on the Tuesday or Wednesday, probably the Wednesday, it might have suited us a touch more, and having that extra day's rest. But I think Klopp will look at this, and although you're absolutely spot on, he might look at it and go, look, we beat Man City, yeah, it's only 90 minutes and pens if need be. We can win this again, which would be great. But Boxing Day for him, that 7-point gap, albeit with the game in hand, is massive. And I think he'll happily throw Man City in the bin with no injuries to win maybe the two games over the Christmas period, just because of where we are. Same goes for Pep, though. He's 5 points behind Arsenal. He could be 8 points behind Arsenal when he goes to that cauldron at Ellen Road.
It's interesting. I just thought I'd check it because I didn't considered this too much, but they played a friendly game on Saturday the 17th. They played Girona. They beat them 2-0. Kevin De Bruyne and Erling Haaland scored. That team was quite interesting because I've not heard of half of the players who were in there. But obviously Ortega's the backup goalie this year, isn't he? So he's in goal. They got the back four was Lewis, Charles, Katongo, and Sergio Gomez plays left back. De Bruyne, Gundogan, Cole Palmer, who's back for them as well. Riyad Mahrez, Erling Haaland, and then a guy called Rodgers.
So they're front. The group stage victims, aren't they? Basically, De Bruyne and Gundogan.
And then and then when you go to the bench, I honestly don't think there was a single name I recognised there in terms of senior players. Now they're without injuries at the moment, so there's no one who's written off for them in terms of. I mean, even Calvin Phillips actually hasn't barely kicked the ball for and been injured but pretty much all season has actually got to go away and do effectively a warm weather training camp with England, hasn't he, to get himself back in contention. They should be reasonably strong, but it's what we don't know. And I was asked this question earlier this week, Dan, is we've all said, oh, the World Cup, oh, it's going to take its toll on players. What we're also forgetting is that even if the lads went to the World Cup, they've actually still played loads less minutes than they would have done if they'd stayed at home, because they'd have been playing two games a week for the entirety of November and December. So the big question mark is, City have had more players at the World Cup, so therefore they've had less training time with Pep Guardiola, but they've been training and they've been keeping fit, and they've, you know, and then they've been playing competitive minutes as well. So they should be able to come back in and be match sharp, which Liverpool should be more rested but will be less match sharp. That's the balancing act there.
Yeah, and that's probably the most worrying element of it as well, because we've all known Liverpool down the years after a break sort of historically aren't exactly firing all cylinders.
They really get the flu on a warm weather training camp is normally what happens to us.
We're quite the opposite normally, aren't we? And I think City being that little bit match sharper will be concerned. I think the last friendly we played, the AC Milan one, there were signs when we had sort of 11 strong players on the pitch that we were pretty much at it, and I think that was a positive to take. But at the same time, the lack of players we had at the World Cup is an interesting one. I think they had 17 and we had 7, something like that. So there's a big disparity there. But like Sam sort of alludes to a moment, a lot of them players, or certainly a few of them, were knocked out in the early stages. Brazil probably earlier than anyone expected, so to get a couple of them back, the keeper being one, obviously. So it's an interesting one. It's an interesting balance. For me, I would rather be in their shoes in terms of that match sharpness and having the match readiness to go. You've been training warm weather, like you say, you've had some more games, whereas a lot of our players are also coming back from injuries. They haven't played competitive football for a while, some of these people, so you'd like a Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, etc. So I don't know, it's not a great boat to be in. At the same time, so much of this comes down to the managers for me. Like, players available is one thing, who you choose to throw into battle is probably the biggest element.
And City should, I guess, it should be able to put out a pretty much their strongest team. The question will be Liverpool. Oh, and we'll talk Liverpool's team in part two, of course. But you know, Alisson wouldn't have been playing this game anyway. It's whether he chooses to throw out Ederson in, because again, he's not.
He's played one game.
And whether he trusts Ortega, who has played in that last friendly game and is a little bit more integrated with the side. Yeah. That is a big question.
To add to that, though, I think training in Qatar and training in Dubai is no climate difference at all.
No, it's a mess.
The difference is with our lads is we've been training to our system, with our manager, with our physios, with our load. These different international teams, as we've seen over the years, even with England, where, you know, the famous Sturridge one where they messed him up, they're not in sync with clubs. They don't have as good staff as clubs. The managers aren't as good as clubs. So I'm not sure I'd rather be them in that. And also, you were saying there's not been as many games in that they've played being at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Give or take, it's probably once every 4 days or 5 days as opposed to once every 3 days. But the load they've done leading up to the World Cup, then only having a week, then going to a hot country, all that pressure, all that intensity, the emotion of going out, we don't know what that's taken out of them. We know later in the season, as people like Cyberunders have said, it's going to ruin players.
Yeah.
But we don't know. And Pep's one of these people, he's very particular about it. He might say, I'm willing to sacrifice this week on the basis that I need to win the league and the Champions League. Mm. If I gamble one or two things this week against Leeds and so on and don't get that bit right, it could cost me a league and a Champions League by, you know, some De Bruyne having too much work and snapping his ankle or tearing his hamstring. Yeah, so yeah. I think there's probably an even balance in that they've got lucky with players going out early enough. But I also think Pep's not soft, and I don't think he would jeopardise the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So there's probably a sort of real balancing act there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
The approach is going to be interesting. Is that does any team go for it from the start, or does everyone keep everything in reserve? And we've seen Klopp quite a lot, but against Man City in particular, in these type of games, almost tries to win it off the bench, tries to win it late doors, and that might be a similar approach again here. Because you're right, it's dead right. The load's not important now because, again, everyone has played less football because of this, but there's never been more football left to play. So as much as it'll be okay, and I think we'll probably find in the coming weeks, even going to January and maybe even to February, people go, well, the World Cup was meant to have a real bad impact. And then they'll take their eyes off the ball, and then by the time we get to April, when they're dropping like flies, that'll be the point. And it's whether any manager kind of has got the strength of character to kind of go, I'm not going to put my foot to the floor here. It is more about for Liverpool. This is almost like, do we treat this as our third pre-season game? Because we certainly didn't do that with the Community Shield. And we might have found we started the season a little better if we had ramped things up a little bit more carefully. But we'll have to see. Right, we're going to be doing Liverpool injury news. We're going to be doing the big decisions facing the manager, other fixtures, and any comments that you guys have sent in part two. Trivia question before we go. Results and scorers, please, from the last time we played Man City away at the Etihad in the League Cup. Answer after this. Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Red Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Red Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Red Men Plus and making it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week and a whole host of extra content as well. Hey, welcome back. Yes, don't forget to check out our brand new series of documentaries streaming on Red Men Plus with my Liverpool debut. Really, really good stuff. Just fascinating. Fascinating to hear. You know, I often find that the big name players, I mean, no one really does this kind of stuff anyway, but also when you then get into it, a debut for Liverpool is a debut for Liverpool, and the feelings of it and being able to pull on that red shirt and run out for the Reds, it's always been all of our dreams. And the idea that, because we do this sometimes, we're like, well, you know, he was a big star, so they're the big stars, the big stars, and we only played 30 times for Liverpool. So they played 30 times for Liverpool.
Mad,
you know what I mean? Got 30 times more than any of us done, and how many things we were cut out of our life for a sniff of being able to come on the pitch for that. So yeah, really, really, really good stuff. And I also just want to draw everyone's attention to, I think we can get it up on the screen, Adam, but we've also got some Costa Shimikas content as well. Chris went down to Hotel Anfield for the launch of Costas's new clothing gear line, and had a good old chat with him as well. And there was a Q&A there. There's also some other boss stuff. There it is, Q&A with Costas Shimikas and John Aldridge, and also obviously this show. We did a podcast extra with Saskia Jade and John Charles, which is, I genuinely don't have the words to describe what went on in that podcast, but it is the greatest podcast in 12 and a half years of making Red Men.
The podcast extra. Okay, have to listen to that.
Wild.
Absolutely wild. Yeah, head to redmenplus.com and sign up and get yourself some extra Redmen content and just, yeah, some eye-opening, ear-opening stuff. I'll just say, there was an ASMR section of that, which is beyond anything that Chris has been able to deliver before, and more. Wow. We've had some comments as well before we get to the answer. Sam Thomas said, Sam always makes great points, and then said, Sam Walker, lol, didn't mean to sound narcissistic. Didn't mean to. Yeah, just shouting yourself out in the comments. Well done, Sam. Well done, Sam Thomas, for that.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Right, the trivia question was, what was the score and scorers the last time Liverpool played Man City at the Etihad in the League Cup? Sam, you've got, you know, the game.
Yeah, was I right? 2012. The semi-final of the League Cup.
League Cup semi-final.
No, we won.
We won.
2-1.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Was it right? 1-0.
1-0.
1-0. Oh, let's have a guess on the goal scorer then. Go on.
You said Bellamy.
No, it wasn't Bellamy because he scored in the second leg. I want to say Maxi.
Steven Gerrard.
Should have just went with Gerrard. He's a guess, isn't it?
13th minute penalty.
Right.
Bonus points for naming Liverpool's starting 11.
Gerrard. Would have been Reina.
Pepe Reina in goal.
Glenn Johnson. Jose Enrique.
Nope.
Flanagan.
No. So actually surprising.
The left back.
Stuart Downing.
No, you'll never get the left back in a million years unless Glenn Johnson played left back potentially. Martin Kelly.
Kelly. Right. Skirtle.
Agger.
Yeah.
Midfield. Gerrard.
Still at the club.
Yeah. Jordan. Yeah, Henderson. Of course. Yeah. Then I would say Suarez wasn't there yet, was he? Dirk Kuyt.
No, on the bench.
Bellamy.
Bellamy, yeah, is up front with big man, little man.
Andy Carroll.
I guess Jordan Henderson plays right of a four.
There's another midfielder missing.
Yeah, Scouser.
Centre mid,
Jay Spearing,
yeah, because he started the final, didn't he?
Yeah, left side.
I thought you did say Downing.
Oh, you said yeah.
Yeah, he said Downing. Yeah.
Okay, yes, Stuart Downing. Well done. And for completeness' sake, Alex Doney, Jose Enrique, Sebastian Coates, Jamie Carragher, Charlie Adam, Jonjo Shelvey, and Dirk Kuyt on the bench. Hey,
shout out to Coates starting for Uruguay in the World Cup. Though fair play to him.
For anyone who just wants to know it, it's just quite interesting. Man City's lineup that day: Joe Hart in goal, a back four of Micah Richards, Stefan Savic, Julian Lescott, Gael Clichy. Adam Johnson played on the left for them. Yeah, Gareth Barry, Nigel de Jong, and James Milner.
Yeah.
Mario Balotelli and Sergio Aguero.
That's a good team, that, isn't it? For the time, especially. We've done well there.
Yeah, very much that crossover from like the early days. This was the beginning of that side being boss. Brilliant stuff.
Great Hendo, Milner, though, innit? Obviously playing against you, but Hendo being at the club then and now, it's class, innit?
Yeah.
Not going to get that very often.
Yeah. Just got a comment in here from Red Patriot. Says, past five meetings, Man City, Liverpool, LFC, three wins, Man City, naught wins, two draws. Uh-huh. Good shout. Good shout indeed. If you got that right, you're brilliant. Give yourself a huge pat on the back. Let's talk Liverpool. So we know this, Sam, no Diaz, mm-hmm. no Jota. No Konate, he'll be allowed some time off after the World Cup. Fair. Trent, Alisson, Fabinho, Henderson have all trained. Virgil, I believe, is just back in training today, so he won't be. He's almost certainly not going to be involved in this one. We're only, you know, no one knows. Also, no one knows what the hell's going on with Curtis Jones, because injury room has got us only three players out, and that's Diaz, Jota, Artur, but Curtis Jones would surely go into that. But this is the way, this is the difficult position that we're in. Really, we've only got we're really only two proper nailed on first teamers out there in Jota and Diaz. But it makes such a big impact on our thinking and how we play and how we manage the squad, because it's now Nunes, Firmino, and Salah are your senior attacking options, and that's it.
Well, just like we said with City, Nunes is a group stage victim, so I don't really think there's a reason why. And we saw him play in that game against AC Milan, didn't we? And did well. So I think there's no reason why he won't play a significant part, whether that's second half, first half, first 60, last 30, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. Trent and Fabinho from that list for me are primed to come in and play, or at least get minutes. Again, we don't know the fallout of what it's been like over in Qatar, the training facilities, the battering on the body. We don't know, do we? But I think the other three, who was it? Henderson, Van Dijk and Alisson, there's just no point. It's not that, it's a big game, but it's not that big a game in terms of no one will remember. If we don't win the League Cup, no one will remember why we went out and how we went out, etc. So in the grand scheme of things, there's just no point in them three even being in the squad. I'd just rather keep them at home, and then everyone else who's fit get in there and try and get them.
The thing that we've got is, and this is the balancing act again, of like people need to get sharp. You know, that they need to get fit, they need to get back together. And you're right, there's a couple of considerations there where we do have to be careful with certain players, but it's whether we're treating this as that third friendly game, or are we treating it as this is it now, game on, the football's back. Because I've talked about it already, we turned the corner before we went away, but psychologically, I don't think any of us genuinely really feels like that, because let's be honest, you know, okay, I've managed not to look at the league table too much over December because there's been no need to, but it doesn't make pretty reading. You know, there's still a lot of work for Liverpool to do, and you know, it goes back to that spirit of positivity and stuff. I don't know how important it, we've just lost too many games of football this season Dan. You know, to go away and have a positive training camp and everyone's feeling good and everyone's coming back, and then to come back to a defeat, that then you've got to reboot yourself again for Boxing Day.
Yeah, it's a really difficult sell as well, isn't it, if you're Klopp and if you sort the coaching staff, because you come back into this game and if you do end up on the wrong side of it, you've then got to almost go again. All that positivity, all that messaging you've been delivering over the past few weeks about this, so we can come back and attack this next part of the season, that's difficult to do if you've lost the game. And not only lost the game, but you lost the game to a team that has been your most fierce and closest rivals over the past few years. It feels like another kick in the teeth in a season that's already had loads of them. So it's hard. The team selection's really difficult for this one. I kind of alluded to it before. It'd be nice if sort of Guardiola and Klopp could get together and have a gentleman's agreement and say, well, we'll name this type of team if you name that.
And Palmer, Frauendorf.
And it's like, it always reminds me, I remember when we played Leicester last year in the League Cup, and obviously Minamino scores a late goal, but Rodgers named a really strong team in the first half and we didn't.
Yeah.
It was like no one quite read the room, or they'd said, oh, we'll go weak, and then he didn't. It was like, you know what I mean?
If we're continuing this as a friendly type thing, then what we'll do is we'll go strong for 60 and then bring the kids on, because that's how we've played the pre-season games, or 70 or 75 or whatever, incrementally go up. Yeah. If we're trying to win it, you know, we're trying to be a bit more serious, I wonder if it's almost we do hold the lads back, so you keep a Nunes back and you keep a couple of better
you know, Kevin, maybe you start, you know, don't know if you start Milner at right back, or you do, yeah. you know, or you start Costas, but whatever,
yeah.
and then you really throw the kitchen sink at it for half an hour, and that's. I could honestly spin a story out one way or the other.
I think that'd be the way he goes, because that's how that Leicester game sort of panned out in the end, because he had the strength and depth on the yeah. bench to say, okay, you've done that, then we'll go.
Because we always forget that he does this a lot. You know, yeah, yeah. go back to famously his first season against Stoke, where he keeps Coutinho and Firmino on the yeah, bench. He yeah. starts Woodburn and Trent. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of this is the sports science of it, we think it's like, oh, is he trying to pull it out the fire? It's not. In not playing lads for 45 minutes, he's getting 45 minutes more of them somewhere else. Of course, down
yeah,
the line.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, that's how it'd be really interesting to see how this one pans out. I tend to edge on that. I think he'll go, not a week, but he'll go for his League Cup side. He'll go for what is predominantly his League Cup side. And all of a sudden, if at half time he needs to do something about it, or he wants to, or even if the game sort of level, nil-nil, whatever, he wants to get minutes, like Sam said, about the sharpness. He'll want to get minutes into legs somewhere along the line. There's no way we're not going to see some of our key players in this game of football, because they need to play competitive football before we've got three Premier League games straight after. So yeah. I think at some point we'll see all of our key members get a run out. It's just when he decides to play them cards.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though, as well? There's another factor here we haven't really talked about, is that at the beginning of the season, the managers will talk to certain players and say, that's your competition regardless.
Yeah.
And they will have known this was coming, and it could have been anyone they were playing. So the likes of, you know, I mentioned Cole Palmer, the likes of Kelleher and Tsimikas
was,
Gomez for them, other players similar, Akanji if he's available, they will be have been told, you are definitely going to play in these games and then use in the league where possible. And I don't think either manager will break that promise. More so, maybe yeah. maybe Pep might, but I think Klopp is much more loyal to his team in all too many respects.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. I think the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain will play, because not just because he's been fit enough, because this is a competition that he will have been told, that's you, and then you can build the platform from there.
Yeah.
The thing is, between us and City, you've just mentioned the league, we're in exactly the same position as they are, but we've just got slightly different targets. They're trying to win the league, we're trying to get in the top four, and we're effectively similar distances between the two. Mm. So we're both in exactly the same boat there, in terms of how much managers are looking at it going, oof.
The next game's more important than the game right in front of us. Yeah. I'm just trying to find some sort of priors that'll give us a clue to this, but it's so unprecedented because for every, you know, Aston Villa where you play a literal team and coached by the Rezzies and the academy managers and all that kind of stuff, you've then got like Arsenal in the League Cup semi-final last season, and he goes strong for that. Mm. Prefaced by the fact that Salah and Mane are still at the AFCON, so Kay Gordon starts in the front three for us in that game. Yeah. Obviously, he's only just beginning his rehab, but it makes you wonder for someone like Ben Doak, of like, and I almost, someone like him for me is typifies what is going to give you an idea of how we're approaching this. Ben Doak, I think, will play in this game. He'll be on the field at some point definitely. In this game.
Yeah,
I think if we're trying to win it in that, over the full 95 minutes or whatever of football, mm-hmm. I think Ben Doak starts this game and you keep one of Nunes or Salah back.
Yeah.
Nunes probably, because you don't tell Mo Salah that he's not playing games of football, perhaps. But, you know, and maybe you put Salah, or maybe, you know what I mean? Or you do some jiggity-pokery, maybe it's Firmino or whatever. It's my point. Because now that I've said that, I've no idea where that they would play if they did that thing. But... Or do you say we'll go and win this in 60? We'll have a strong 60, and then this is when Frauendorf and when Doak and when some of the other lads come in.
It's so problematic, this one, because I think it all comes down to again the Diaz and the Jota injuries, because you don't have the options afforded to us that he'd likely. You could go with, if those two lads hadn't played much football in recent weeks for whatever reason, you could almost throw them into this or go get some minutes, but we haven't got that luxury. So Doak is almost like the next in line now. It's ridiculous that we've got a 16-year-old kid as our sort of fourth choice attacker, which is, you know, credit to him, he's been absolutely outstanding when he has been called upon. One thing we do know, if he does start this game, is he won't fear it. He shows absolutely no fear. He just wants to take on the entire world of football, it seems, every time he plays. So credit to him for that. And I think if he does start the game, it will be a statement from Klopp in terms of how he's approaching it. I think you're probably right. I think he will be going, I know this is Man City and I know it's really important, but that and that are more important. Even though we'll still have options on the bench to come and try and win it, he'll want to win the game. I'm not disputing that. But if Doak starts against Man City, who could well be pretty much full strength, that's a serious sign of this isn't our sort of most important asset here.
Well, again, that's it. It depends what the subs look like and what the game state's like. Because the thing about the you hold on for 60 minutes. You try and be as so. Look, you could win the game. You could score a goal in that time. Absolutely, but yeah, we saw this in the Charity Shield a couple of years ago when we take it to penalties with them, and we just threw the kitchen sink at it toward the end of that game. Charity Shield was similar. Nunes comes on like and he's just explosive, and I do wonder whether. This is the front three. We have to be careful with them.
Yeah.
You know, we probably should go into the transfer market, but I can't see, given how much money needs to be spent on the midfield in the coming windows. They should just go and pick someone up, but to expect we're going to bring someone in at the level of Diaz and Jota, what I'm saying is a 15 to 20 goal forward like that is perhaps a stretch. So we're going to have to rotate those guys. So, is this the first instance where you do start saying, and look, Nunes will be firing for it, Bobby will be firing, Salah will be desperate for this, but these lads are basically going to have to play every game for us until March, mid to late February.
You see, I'm the opposite now. I was with you in November, October, we'll probably do something, but I actually look at the squad now and think, if you think we've got 9 midfielders now, that's not including Carvalho at the club, 6 of them are going to be available on Thursday. Then Keita, Ox, Milner, Fabinho, Thiago and Elliot. I think they're all going to play a part on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's before you even get into Bacetic, by the way, who might also play a part and should. And then you've got Artemelo, who's meant to be back for Boxing Day, we're told. Leicester at the latest. Jones will be around somewhere. He's running. He's not badly injured. And then you've got Henderson, who's just going to get rested. I honestly think we will do something in the forward line in January, which means we might see more of an attacking sort of you three go.
Yeah,
we're going to do, because if you just without digressing too far, I think there's more options out there for your front three than there are in the middle three. That for us,
okay.
So I think there's more likely we go and get the kid who came on who nearly won it for France. We get Bellingham, because we're not going to mess about in midfield. It's going to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
So there's a chance we go and get some kid from Germany who's an international player, played in the World Cup for France or for you know, Germany or whatever. Than we do a midfielder.
The other thing, it was actually Steve wrote this agenda, but yeah, it poses the interesting question, because I said Doak, but actually we're overlooking a couple of players here, because if who goes up front if we do rest one of Bobby, Nunes or Salah? Yeah. And I think the issue is that Bobby's only playing in the middle there.
Yeah.
You know, Salah can obviously play right or centre, Nunes can play left or centre.
Yeah.
Bobby makes it slightly tricky, because if you move Salah to centre, then you're taking Bobby out of the team. Effectively, so you're actually, you know, you've got to rejig things a little bit more, and then you're left with, like, when he comes on, he's only coming on in one position for us. By the way, notwithstanding a change of formation, we've seen Carvalho used from the left in the mid-season games. We've seen Ox used from the left as well, and that's the other alternative. There is, you keep Nunes back for this, for the start of this again, and you throw one of Ox or Carvalho on the left.
The both possibilities, of course, I'm not enamoured by either of them. I don't like Carvalho that much from the left. I like him as a footballer. In fact, honestly, more broadly speaking, I'm not entirely sure what his best position is.
Yes.
Yeah, which in many ways is sort of a credit to him, because he sort of fills in lots of different roles. At some point, you might have to hone down and say, this is where I play. Curtis Jones, similarly, actually, to be honest with you. But with the Ox from the left, it's an option, and it's an option we may well see in a League Cup game where we're kind of short on what we could do. But I think moving forwards, I don't really want to see either of them from the left, to be honest.
Yeah. In fact, Cyberrun, this did a great post on Twitter this week, and I've covered it in a couple of different places. Of one of the few players who's actually played more minutes this season at this point of the season is actually Darwin Nunes. It's like 200 and something odd minutes more than this time last year for Benfica.
That's interesting, because he was suspended and he had a couple of games out for injury.
Yeah, so we definitely need to be careful with these guys. Carvalho is just such an X factor. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's a huge high ceiling. But you're right. He feels to me like a proper Man City buy. That right now I can't see quite how he fits into us, but I could also equally foresee a world where he can play left, right, centre and one of the attacking midfield slots.
Bernardo Silva,
exactly. The game when he came on against City showed the quality of footballer that he is, because the games against City are not, you know, bullying, you know, sort of really physical, that's the way they're looking for, physical games. They are in terms of running, but you know, it's not brute force in the midfield, is it? It's all about technique and passing, and moving and staying with your man, etc. And I think that that kind of epitomises his game. And I was really impressed with him when he came on at Anfield. He was sharp. So I could actually see this game being the type of game and the type of football that suits his style, which is, you know, he's in my predicted 11 actually from the left, just to sort of bring that up. So I can see that working for this game. It's a totally different game in a physical game of football, but for a footballing game, I can see why he would play.
So okay, we'll do our 11s in a moment. We have got an incredible series of competitions that we've been running all throughout December. We're into the final few days, but there are still a couple of absolutely incredible prizes. We're going to be doing three prize draws from the last 3 days in a moment, but Last Chance Saloon, we're entering into it. We've still got one more mega prize still to give away. Here's the details on that.
Hey everyone, Merry Christmas. Ooh, Christmas time is getting very close indeed, and we have still got some amazing prizes to give away in our Red Men Plus Advent Calendar Liverpool giveaway. We've already given away an Auto Penside Mohamed Salah shirt. We have given away an actual signed shirt, Liverpool Retro, signed by Ronnie Wheeler and Bruce Grobbelaar. We've given away bits signed by Michael Owen and Phil Neal. We've still got signed books left to give away, and of course this is the big one. This is what we've all been waiting for. On Christmas, we are going to be giving away a 2001 Liverpool away shirt signed by Jamie Carragher and by Phil Thompson, two of the most celebrated, decorated, most beloved Scousers on the planet ever to play for the Mighty Reds. And it's on a 2001 Cardiff away shirt for, you know, not Cardiff, but Liverpool playing in Cardiff for the FA Cup final. Yeah, get your name in the draw for one more week of Red Men Christmas giveaways. Go to redmenplus.com, sign up as a Club Legend tier subscriber. Not only will you get access to our incredible range of content, which of course means the footy's back this week, we've got you covered with pre and post game content on there in video and in podcast, but also we've got loads of documentaries. My Liverpool debut is streaming in full, available for you, a documentary series focused on Liverpool legends, including Phil Thompson and Jamie Carragher. Find out how they made their Liverpool debuts in our new documentary series. And yeah, if you want to be a Club Legend subscriber, you can either join straight away or upgrade from Club Captain over redmenplus.com and get your name in the hat for this little beauty and a bunch of other stuff as well. Yes, hope to see you over there. Merry Christmas.
Yes, absolutely brilliant stuff. And yeah, that Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher signed shirt is still to be drawn. Steve will be drawing that, I think, on Boxing Day. So you've got the last few days to get yourself signed up as a Club Legend. And also, just worth pointing out, if you join Club Legend on a yearly, you'll automatically be sent 2 discount codes. That's just right, right?
That is right. I'll be sending you them personally.
Yes.
As well,
Dan will be personally sending you 2 codes to get 2 free pieces of merchandise from redmanmerch.com as well. So not only do you get boss content, you get access to the Discord, you get all great stuff, but you also get free clobber as well. So sit off over Christmas with your boss videos and podcasts, and then after Christmas get some boss t-shirts sent to you as well. Right, let's draw, because we've got 3 to do. The first prize is Addicted to Football. So first prize is this. It's Addicted to Football, John Newby, former Liverpool academy player, and yeah, from professional footballer to heart surgery patient, signed by the man himself. Let's go to the wheel of names then. We're going to tap to spin. Ooh, go on guys, give us the, yeah, that's it. Absolutely ages. Surprises me still to this day. Nabs 99, well done. You are the winner of the signed copy of Addicted to Football. Brilliant, right? Let's move things on quickly. The next one is a framed Mo Salah print by the incredible artist Abigail Rudkin. That is available for you guys. Let's spin that wheel again. Kalu is the winner of that one. Congratulations. Absolutely brilliant. And the final prize today is a Virgil van Dijk print, which is absolutely amazing, and it was expertly put together. Yoni was our artist of the week on the podcast this week, but obviously he's part of a collective of untitled artwork, so it's a collaborative piece between those three incredibly talented guys. And that is the final prize for today. So let's spin the wheel one more time, take a deep breath, prepare your forearms.
Chesney!
Chesney.
Well done. Congratulations. Yeah, there you go. We will be in touch to get your prizes sent to you guys ASAP. But yes, it is Wednesday the 21st, which means we've got 3 more days worth of prizes.
Four more days.
Jesus Christ, Paul.
Do you do on Christmas Day as well?
Yeah, which is the Boxing Day one.
Yeah. Right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, still plenty of prizes up for grabs, as well as all the extra bonus perks that you get becoming a club legend, so you get involved with that. Right, let's do our 11s. Kelleher's going to start.
Yeah.
Who's your back four, first and foremost, Sam?
Milner. He's been playing right back. I just think he'll start.
Yeah.
Gomez, Matip, Robertson.
Yes. Any disagreement on that?
I would go Tsimikas at left back.
Okay.
Outside of that, no, that would be the same.
Mm. Why?
Yeah. But this is the League Cup.
It's a good point.
And I think to Sam's point earlier, actually, about sort of this is your competition. I think if this is a game or not a game, rather, where you're not going to give him minutes, I don't see where he gets loads of minutes. Like, he obviously had that spell early on when Robertson was injured. I've said it many times. He never really sort of kicked on and went, no, Robbo, you're not coming back. Mm. I think he has to start these sort of games of football.
Yeah. Look, James Milner as well on the other side is an interesting shout. Not saddened or upset or anything too dramatic about it. I was hoping to see more of Calvin Ramsey.
In the mid games.
He looks good. I'm starting to get a greater sense of what he is as a footballer. But you're right. I think you can almost tell to a degree the nailed on sets for this game because of who's played in the starting 11, who's played the most minutes in the mid-season game so far. Yeah. And that's why I think Milner, I agree on the Milner thing. I think it would be a bit weird if he didn't. He might play in midfield, of course, but he had a really good game there in the league as well against Man City. Yeah. So you know what you're going to get from him. He's fit, he's primed.
I can't see Phil Foden down on the left wing.
No, and without Henderson in midfield. Yeah, I know.
What are you doing? I just can't see him starting. He might come on. I just think he played a lot of football for England. It's not that big a game. I just think it'd be stupid to pull an hamstring running. Different atmosphere, different weather, not enough training.
They'll just play Jack Grealish.
He's crap though, isn't he?
Oh, Sam, come on. I was offering you
He could score an hat-trick against us Thursday, and he's still been shy for
them. He's on the bench a lot for someone who costs £1 million.
Exactly. Yeah. So I call him Pinocchio.
His game isn't scoring goals or getting assists.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah.
Looking good and bantering.
That's Miggy Almiron. I think
Milner. Reverse Almiron.
Yeah, reverse Almiron. I think Milner as well, because of what he offers is such a cliche. I don't even want to say it. His experience. So Henderson's not going to play, obviously. Yeah, definitely. He's not been around. Milner offers that. And also, we've actually got a few midfield options now who are probably more likely to start in there ahead of him. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's the case. Okay. The midfield three, to your point, Sam, we've got options of footballers you can play in this game.
I said we had 6 available. And Bacetic, and because I've said Milner's a right back, I'm actually going to go. I think Bacetic will start number 6. I think it's a game for him. I think Naby Keita will start, and I think Thiago will play, but I don't think he'll play the full 90.
Okay.
With he's fit, isn't he? He's ready. Yeah. Use him when you've got him.
Yeah. Possibility.
I tend to agree with that midfield for me. The only alternative I'd probably offer is not Bajetic, I'd go Thiago in the 6, which I'm not in love with. But you'd go for like that fluid midfield three of him, Keita and Elliot, perhaps.
Yeah.
As more of a flat three than anyone sits in the 6, but normally Thiago's in the centre and he's the one who does drop back. Not going to be Fabinho, probably not been back in time, probably not been back for long enough. Yeah. Although he hardly kicked the ball in anger at the World Cup, so if he's anywhere near, then he'd be in. But it's a big game for Bajetic, and I'm not sort of disputing whether he's got what it takes to step up to it, but it is a huge call. And if all of a sudden we do foam in and City are at full tilt and they are at full strength and we go a few behind, what's that do for him? Like, is it positive for his career? Listen, it may well be, and he might learn from it and he might do really well in it, but it's a gamble that.
5 subs and it being the League Cup, I think, helps Bacetic's case here because you mentioned it before, Leicester. We go with.
I think Cometio started.
Billy Cometio being the one of the prime examples.
The young right back played as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
McLaughlin, is it?
No, was it Mbaye?
The young right back played.
It's brilliant.
It definitely wasn't McLaughlin.
There's people screaming at their screens.
What's his name? Oh.
Yeah, he's at Bolton at the moment. Connor Bradley.
Bradley, that's it, yeah.
Why did McLaughlin come
from? He was a left back, yeah. We're in right McLaughlin, yeah.
Yeah, and Nico Williams started at further forward.
Right mid, yeah.
Right mid, yeah.
But so what you could do that, you know, I think if Pochettino's going to do that, it depends on Henderson and Fabinho.
Yeah.
And if either of those are in contention, they'd probably finish the game out. I'd be a bit mad to see Pochettino play 90 minutes against Man City away. Mm. Hey, look, if he does, that is amazing. Because like he that's given something to Liverpool like far beyond his years. If we're capable of giving Fabinho and Jordan Henderson a day off at the Etihad, even albeit in a League Cup first game back after the World Cup, and I hope he can perform, because we're going to need him. Unless we buy someone else in midfield in January, we need another lad who can do that job. He looks like the love child of Xabi Alonso and Thiago Alcantara playing in that six for me, and it's very early doors, but like the way he finds space with his first touch, he frees himself up constantly, he wants to move the ball quickly, he wants to move it through the lines. He is a very special young player, and I really hope he gets that chance. But I agree, I think he's played there in both the mid-season games, he's been in the starting team, which has been the strongest team. I think this, he's been primed for this game. But the other side stuff's fascinating, because Keita, he's not been used anything more than very sparingly. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether his job now and for the rest of the season is to just go back to being what he was last year, and that is the guy that gets Thiago some time off the pitch.
Yeah.
So maybe you start Thiago and Naby as your 30 minutes for him, because I think Harvey Elliott will probably just start, and then there's maybe Harvey and Hendo can be a bit of rotation for it.
It's a good sub to make as well, isn't it? To have him to come on, bit of excitement in the midfield.
Yeah, definitely. Front three?
I think it'll be Salah. I think he'll play.
Yeah.
See, Nunes only played about 180 minutes altogether in the World Cup. Didn't he come off in three of the games?
Yeah, and then he got 20 the other day for us.
It's kind of ready for him to start. It's only a 90-minute game. I think Carvalho plays left. I do think he'll start. He's ready for it. I think Salah plays right, and I think both Firmino and Nunes will start. I'm going to go Bobby with Nunes coming on for him. I agree with what you said before.
Okay.
I'm going to go the front three. I'm going to go the most powerful front three that we have, which would be Salah, Nunes and Firmino. Not in that order, obviously. I think it'd be the front three. And I just think it'd be that balancing act. Like what we spoke about in terms of the rotation and swapping out players and doing your smart subs, I think that will be the case. I don't think it'll be the case with the firepower. I think he'll go for the firepower. So you go and start together, because you three, whatever happens in January, and I agree, we do need a forward and we might go and get one. But for the next couple of weeks, it's you three. So you three, you're going to start now. You're going to build up your chemistry. You're going to make it happen against Man City. And then if we're in command of the game, we'll take you off. If not, you might have to do 80 minutes.
I'd keep Nunes back for this, because again, he should be sharp, he should be fit, he should be absolutely fine. But I want that combination of no need to rush him, no need to throw him in, you know, and also Carvalho needs to play some football for us. And I think at the moment, as much as like ideally going by someone in January, there's so many priors that say we won't. They say we will just trust Carvalho, Ox, and Elliot and Doak as the understudies to those three. Look, I know. Look, I don't like
that.
I agree with Paul. There's a lot of
priors. I am not sitting here saying that's what I would do, and I hope Liverpool would do. But I'm just saying, let's be honest, that's more like the most likely thing that will happen. Like we knew AFCON was going to take Salah and Mane away from us last January.
Also
leave them absolutely on their arse. And we bought Diaz that was in, but planned, it was though. Right at the end. That was an opportunistic signing at the end of the window. We bought Carvalho. We tried to buy Carvalho then as well, and we bought him. They want him, they want to use him, they want to get him minutes. I would start Carvalho. I would start Carvalho, Firmino, Salah, and then you've got Nunes, and you can choose what you want to do.
Where you want to put them on.
Then if you wanted to, you could take Firmino and Carvalho off and put Ox and Nunes on, and then all of a sudden you've got tons of pace.
And you've got Doak as well.
Add him into the mix. Let us know your 11s in the comments. What would you be going for in this one? It's nice to kind of do this and not really know. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd have a bit of a fresh impetus on all this stuff. Let's have a look at the other
EFL Cup games. We are in the round of 16. It is Wolves.
Some of them have played that last Wolves, night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wolves beat Gillingham. Southampton beat Lincoln. Newcastle beat Bournemouth. Leicester beat MK Dons. And then today and tomorrow, there is Charlton Brighton, Blackburn, Forest, Man United, Burnley, and then we're tomorrow on that.
United,
they're the only. Newcastle and United, because I keep forgetting to consider Newcastle for this stuff. Maybe Leicester.
But I'm saying, look at United's game tonight.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Loads of players shouldn't be there.
Vinny Company.
Burnley are top of the league. They've had games already, competitive games. That's going to be a tough game for them. It's only 90 minutes as well.
What I'm looking at here is I just think the winner of this game between us and City wins the League Cup. Because you look at
it. As long as you don't get Newcastle or United away, quarters. That's the one thing you don't want.
Especially Newcastle.
Well, either of them.
No, but yeah, of course, but Newcastle just seem to be on this crest of a wave at the minute, don't they?
Momentum.
They need silverware as well, let's be honest.
It's frightening what the teams that are left in there, because you're dead right. I mean, like I said, Newcastle are already through. Yeah. Leicester are already through. Yeah. If Man United get through,
but you don't want to go there if you have a choice.
Of course, two
legs, yeah, right, we'll have that, but...
Yeah. But that's the thing, that's my point, is like, it's only the quarterfinals next. You know, that's still an entire another round for a load of teams to go out, and there's not that many brilliant teams left in that. You know, you'd have to get very lucky to get to a semi-final situation where it's Newcastle, Man United, City or Liverpool, and say Leicester competition. Because it's highly possible that, you know, United could draw Newcastle, one of us could draw either of them in the next round. Really, really interesting stuff. It opens up in a big way. Good stuff. Guys, thank you very much. I want to get your score predictions, because we're back and we have to start throwing ourselves under the bus very early doors on this. Sam, what do you think the score is going to be?
2-2 win on pens.
I'll go 2-1 Liverpool.
I do like the idea of us being dog shit at penalties in those mid-season games and then coming back and being really well practiced in penalties, therefore, and somehow using that to get us through.
Different players too.
Got him out of the system. Well, Nunes was...
So there is that. But yeah, we'll see. What would you like it to be? I'd like a nice win. The last time I went to Etihad was the Champions League quarters, and it was the most stressful game of football of my entire life. So I would prefer that not to be that difficult. But listen, it's Liverpool, the back, it will be. And that we've all got to strap ourselves in and prepare for for the grind once again. But that's what it's all about. One more final reminder, then do go to redmenplus.com. Check out the Costa stuff. Really, really good stuff. Chris got a really good interview out of him. There is the Q&A there, so if you were there present at Hotel Anfield and you had a question asked, that should be covered by that as well. Also, check out Free on YouTube right now. We did a quickfire Q&A with him where he posed the question, very topical, Messi or Salah. I mean, you can guess who he says. that stuff's there. Give yourself a little taste of all that stuff, and then, get the full beans. Costa Simicas hit into your life. Do check out my Liverpool debut. Do stay tuned for more free stuff on the YouTube channel as well. Guys, thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So much, an absolute pleasure. Hopefully the Reds can get back into the swing of things with a big win at the Etihad. And yeah, other than that, yeah, have a Bosch week and we'll see it all very soon. Ta-da.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.